This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Feeling good about life. Finally getting some chance to get caught up on some rest, probably, the way their schedule's been.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play again until the weekend.
Sunday night.
Yeah. Both those gentlemen joining us. And again, Joe Lunardi will tell NC State fans everything they want to hear.
Today.
I mean, that's all we can do is right now.
Yeah, this hour. This hour they'll find out something maybe they want to hear.
I think so. All right, the guests today have been great. And I always love having the student-athletes on, man. You learn a lot about what's going on that front. Kenny Brooks, out of sight, right? Yep. He's always good with us. And, of course, they've got the Hokies are on the road against Notre Dame. Ladies' night tonight, hoops.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, NC State really is the story with what
Absolutely.
They did to Duke. I mean, that was an incredibly impressive performance. Despite the KenPom luck rankings, NC State was still able to go out there and win by 22.
Also, for the Wolfpack, their largest win over a top 10 team since 1965.
How about that?
55 years ago. Holy cow. They beat St. Joe's, by the way, 55 years ago by 22 points. Tied for their second largest win ever against an AP top 10 team. So, for Duke, second largest loss ever to an unranked opponent. How about that?
K's worse.
Yes.
To an unranked opponent.
It's their worst such loss since the 1968 NIT.
Right, which was prior to Krzyzewski's arrival.
Yeah, by about 14 years.
Decade plus.
Yeah. I thought it was very interesting to just see the 10-1 start, and then I thought Seth Greenberg put some stuff in perspective by going to the five-minute increments. And NC State won, obviously, a lot of those, and the ones they didn't win, they didn't get blown out of the water with. I mean, the point differential, I think, in the first 5 minutes of the second half was eight, or second 5 minutes of the second half was eight. But I thought DJ Funderburk was good. Markell Johnson and Devin Daniels were sensational for the Wolfpack. Now, here we go again, the old skins game. Can they validate this Saturday against Florida State? I'm going to guess Kevin Keats is hoping he can move on pretty quick to the Noles, because – everybody's going to be loving the Duke, and, hey, we ran on the floor, and I ran on the floor when they beat Duke by 22. NC State's still got work to do. But at this hour, they're in pretty good shape, Pac.
Well, like I told you, Florida State thanked them too, because all of a sudden Duke, who had the lead, came back to the pack at the top last night. And now Florida State is looking around going, hey, you know what? We're tied in the loss column along with Louisville.
Yep.
Let's go. And they are deep. They are talented. NC State's still going to have to reach deep into the tank on Saturday, because Florida State's going to hit you with all kinds of players. And if you're worried about what you did beating Duke, you're going to probably get beat in all likelihood. So Kevin Keats, his number one job is to say, guys, enjoyed it. It's over. Let's move on.
In fact, let's go to the head coach of the Wolfpack, who last night after the ball game talked about the dynamic of beating Duke and what it means.
You have another nationally ranked team coming in here in 3 days. You have 2 days to prepare. How will you handle that with your team? Obviously, they're sky high tonight. What do you do the next 2 days to get them to focus?
You got to let me enjoy tonight. I promise you, if you call Craig or Fred and ask that question tomorrow, I'll give you an answer. But there's no way I'm talking about another team tonight after this great win.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Well earned, well deserved. But I guarantee you, if we had Kevin Keats on the line right now, he'd be talking about Florida State.
Right.
And he better be. Because the Noles are playing for first. And NC State's playing for their tournament lives. And they really, really helped themselves last night.
No question. We'll find out how much they helped themselves coming up here in a few minutes with Joe Lunardi at quarter past the hour. Because I think that NC State got into the field, but are they in the field?
Well, they got in it. Now you got to keep winning. I mean, last night wasn't the finish line, but they had to get a W this week, given the schedule with Duke and Florida State at home, one down. After the Wolfpack, man, could be nothing better than going ahead and, like you said, validate the W and really put yourself in a good position.
Becomes a skins game in golf, man. I'm telling you. Just this time of year, all one win does is buy you the opportunity to win the next one if you're NC State. And what does it do if you're Louisville, Duke, or somebody like that? It might change your seed line, depending on what you do. But you see what happened to Louisville last week. They had to lose twice to change the seed line.
Well, because their body of work is so good.
Right. Duke's the same way. Duke didn't lose any ground last night. They lost the game by 22. They'll be fired up when Mike Young shows up.
Duke, in all likelihood, is still a 2. But, you know, you don't want 1 to turn to 2 like it did last week for Louisville. And all of a sudden people start questioning whether or not what's wrong with the team.
Right.
What's going on in the locker room? They had a players meeting prior to. I mean, you know, hey, you just want to keep grinding, man. And, again, these three teams at the top of the league
right.
are so good and so deep. And I just think their leadership and everything else, that they're going to be fine. Virginia, is we keep harping on it, is the fourth best team in the league. When they give me a 78 spot on the offensive standpoint, that is a flag for everybody else. Mm-hmm. Because when Virginia can score, Virginia is a pain.
Yeah.
Because they are so good in terms of being well-coached and great defense. And NC State played themselves on top of the glob. And if you said, hey, listen, the ACC is going to put 5 teams in the dance, hey, you know who the fifth guy is going to be at right now. It's NC State.
Yeah. Well, it was one of 2 headline games in the league last night on a busy night. There were 5 games on the schedule. The other headline game, if you will, was at the KFC Yum Center, where we were trying to find out if Louisville could stop the fall, and they did. In fact, they got it solved pretty quick. They beat Syracuse 90-66. Jordan Wara took 18 shots to get 17 points, but the Cards got some perimeter bombs from Ryan McMahon. David Johnson got the start, by the way, last night, and I thought he looked really good playing the point and the middle against the zone for Coach Mack.
Wes, yesterday I gave you a stat that Louisville and their 2 losses last week were 9 of 51 from 3.
At 18%, yeah.
Actually 17.
17,
but that's
sorry.
Okay. Your math still, you're in the neighborhood. Just unlucky with that answer. Last night they made 10 threes.
Yeah.
By themselves. 10 of 17 from 3. When Louisville gives you that, they are a tough out. They're a tough out. And I thought even equally important last night was not only Louisville coming back, proving who they are, and that they're a really good club.
I agree.
It was also the opportunity, much like NC State had, Syracuse had to find a W. You mean, you go through the body of work looking for quad one wins, quality wins. Syracuse knew the road trip to Florida State, the road trip to Louisville were critical. Mm-hmm. They had a chance Saturday over the weekend at Florida State to let a 4-point lead get away. Last night, they had to win this game. You know what? They didn't. And they looked like an NIT team last night. Doesn't mean that's where they're going to end up, because they'll have a chance to win the ACC tournament. But their golden opportunity, the 2 games on the road, they went 0-2. And last night, they quite frankly, as Jim Boeheim even said, we just weren't good enough to win a game like that.
Yeah.
And he was right. 100%
well,
right.
I think that Louisville certainly got themselves back in order now. Can they get Carolina? Can they validate? Different opponent, different scenario. Not the obviously top 10 team Florida State will be rolling into Raleigh. But Carolina comes in after the Monday night heartbreaker at Notre Dame. And how do the Tar Heels and how do the Cards handle it?
Well, I think the Cards feel pretty good about themselves. I don't think North Carolina has a clue. I think North Carolina's looking around going, what else could possibly happen to us?
Yeah.
You know, that loss to Notre Dame is a killer because, man, you're up 15 with 8.5 to go. You've been down that road before. They've lost down 5 games with a double-digit lead in the second half. And they've lost them multiple different ways. Terrible free throw shooting. You know what? They were actually pretty good from the line against Notre Dame. Defensively, there were some lapses. There were some poor shot selections late. I mean, you come up with whatever scenario you want. North Carolina will check the box off. So I think if you're Louisville going in the game this weekend against North Carolina, I think you feel pretty good about your position. If you're Roy, you know, hey, you just got to keep grinding, man. It's been a long, tough year. They're looking for their first win in February, for crying out loud.
By the way, the dynamic for the old Orange is a little different now.
I agree.
7-8 with Georgia Tech coming to the Dome and feeling good about itself.
The problem for Syracuse is even if they get hot late, and the schedule kind of allows them, if they can find it, even though I know they've lost 5 of 6, you're not going to pick up the quality W that you need to get on the good side of the bracket in terms of the bubble. So,
by the way, they dusted the Jackets the last time they saw them.
Remember, they put like a 90 spot, right? It's crazy.
Elijah Hughes still scoring.
Yeah. So, you know, that seems like a million years ago, right? I mean, just seems that way. We'll see.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Mentioned Mike Bray of Notre Dame coming up here in about 15 minutes, but right now we go to the bunker.
so to speak. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Joe Lunardi, head honcho of bracketology, joins us here on Packer in Durham. Joe, I'm sitting here looking at the Wednesday bubble final, and we have good news for NC State at this hour, right? Is that the way this is going to play out? We have good news at this hour?
Yeah, we do. I do like to sleep on these things because the games end, and last night we had, 12 of the 15 teams closest to the bubble all playing. I want to make sure that, kind of my spot judgments were on, but it looks like the sun has risen with the Wolfpack as the last team in the field.
The very last team in the field. If it started today, they're the last team in, is what you're telling us.
Correct. They would enjoy the bucolic pleasure of Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, man.
People in Raleigh will be excited. Syracuse had an opportunity last night. Joe, they get spanked pretty bad last night by Louisville. What kind of trouble is Syracuse in moving forward based on the quality of the schedule and what they've got to do to get in?
Yeah, I think the Orange needed to win at least one of these two kind of road opportunities that they had, Florida State and then Louisville last night. They're not really very close to consideration at this point, and should probably be planning alternate activities for the middle of March. And that's just the reality of it. I think Jim Boeheim said it last night. They're just not good enough. And we can talk resume, till the cows come home, but they don't have the wins. The coattails of the ACC aren't what they usually are, and they're not going to make it.
Joe, I think the interesting part, and you touched on this when you were with us the last time, and I noticed on the information you sent out late last night, Virginia is one of the last four byes as the fourth best team in this league, and NC State is the last team in, as you said, after the win last night over Duke. I don't know how much fluctuation can occur here in the next 3 weeks going to the tournaments and things of that nature, but the ACC better be just comfortable with four, potentially five, and really that might be the ceiling unless Cinderella walks into the Coliseum in Greensboro in a couple weeks, it looks like.
Yeah, and I suspect that the lobbying and even the kind of whining may already have begun in the sense that, hey, we're the ACC. We never get three or four or five teams in. Mm-hmm. But it is cyclical. Look, this has been the best conference in college basketball on a year-over-year basis for as long as I can remember. Everybody has a bad day at work. The ACC is having a bad day at the office in that regard. But I fully expect Virginia to continue to climb. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be, like a five seed, but they could get up in towards single digits and at least be out of the conversation for the first four. And for NC State, if they can back this up with a win over Florida State, this will be, maybe the greatest two-game homestand, of the modern era for them, because they will have gone from, barely on the radar to solidly in the field. And, after last year's near miss, I'm sure that would be very welcome news.
Joe, is there anybody else in the ACC, and I'll just use Notre Dame as an example because Mike Bray's coming up here in another 5 or 10 minutes, that has a chance just based on schedule and anything short of winning the ACC tournament to get the automatic bid? Is there anybody else who can potentially go on a miraculous run, end of regular season and a semi-deep run in the ACC tournament, and get themselves in position to be in?
Yeah, the Irish are next. You would have put both Notre Dame and Syracuse in that conversation, I think, before last night of teams that, let's say they you know, go 4-1 down the stretch and get to the semis or the finals in Greensboro, that would certainly get some attention and some good wins, right? You know, in the charm of the conference tournaments is you can pile up as many really good wins in you know, 72 hours as maybe you can in 72 days.
Right.
The nature of the beast. You know, non-conference schedule, not great. Wins in the league, not great. So you're asking for something to happen that you haven't seen really signs of all year. And does it happen? Yes. Do I think it's going to happen? Sorry to say, no.
I want to ask you another element here about the details of this process, because I think that's where I get most fascinated this time of year. What happened last week with Louisville certainly moved them in the seeding process. But you talk about NC State solidly being in the event with a win against Florida State. How much does Florida State benefit by playing NC State on the road now that they come off the Duke win? And how would that potentially get Florida State maybe a line up on Saturday night in a new projection?
Yeah, Florida State and Seton Hall have been kind of trading the last number two seed for a little bit here. And I moved Seton Hall just back ahead of FSU with its win last night. Louisville is also in that
right
conversation. You know, within the threes now, I'd say they're closer to two than to four with that win. And yeah, these games do matter from that perspective. You know, I went into the week believing firmly that a month from now, Duke was going to be the number one seed in the East, as an example. Mm-hmm. I thought one of the two teams out West would stumble at some point, you know, Gonzaga, because they still have to play BYU and St. Mary's, and San Diego State just because. Not that I don't like them as a basketball team or even as the number one seed. I just think it's really hard to win every road game in your league, in any league.
Yeah.
And they're on the way to doing it. Dayton is on the way to doing it, to their credit. But just kind of looking at the most likely paths, I thought, you know, I didn't think Duke would get hammered in Raleigh last night, who did, and that, you know, they would be the beneficiary. Now I'm not sure Duke is next in line, for a one seed. They're still in the sixth or seventh overall range, but it might be Maryland, sitting there. And, you know, wouldn't they love to be the two seed at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
So, you know, at least if my social media commentary from the great state of Maryland is any indication in the last 12 hours, you know, they're starting to MapQuest Penn Station. So, you know, that's just great. Great. They can get right on at New Carrollton and, you know, go all the way up and have a great time.
Hey, Joe, thanks for the time as always. Great stuff. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Later. Joe Lunardi from ESPN handles bracketology. Good information there, especially as it relates to what NC State and Florida State have at stake here Saturday on ACC Network.
And Notre Dame.
I think that, to me, is one of the more interesting dynamics here, because I've said, not that I'm knower or seer of all things.
Yeah, you are.
Their ability
Don't
to shoot
yourself the, short.
Their ability to shoot the ball, and crazy as it sounds, he says the resume. Well, keep an eye on UCLA. If I hear that, you know, NC State is battling Minnesota for a potential spot, and the Wisconsin win is this, and Michigan State means this to Virginia Tech, and all those other things, I promise you that somewhere along the lines, Notre Dame's win against UCLA counts.
It does appear, though, just based on what Joe told us, that Syracuse had their opportunities, didn't get it done.
That's right.
Next up is for somebody else to join the party will be Notre Dame.
Yep.
But to do that, they've got to win out and then some, right? It just sounds like it. But NC State put themselves in a good spot last night. That I can't emphasize again how important that was for Kevin Keats and his club.
Yeah, oh yeah, and huge. The way they did it. See, huge. That's the other thing too, is something like that at this point in the year is fresh in the mind of a committee member as he sits there and starts to take the Wolfpack into account. And Dr. Kevin White, the athletics director at Duke, is the chairman of the Men's Basketball Selection Committee. I'm sure that we'll hear comments from him along the way here in the next couple of weeks about the process.
You know, the other thing that I always found to be kind of funny about bracketology, whether it's Joe Lunardi or wherever you get your source for bracketology, right?
Sure.
Is you could analyze all this stuff about who's in, who's out on a given Tuesday or a Wednesday, 3 weeks out, whatever. The one thing you do not know is when we get to these conference tournaments, somebody is bound to go crazy. Somebody is bound to be a 9 seed that says, you know what? We got nothing to lose. And for 3 or 4 days, they find it. They make everything they look at. They get lucky and just cut down a net and grab a spot. And as goofy as college basketball has been this year,
right?
With 27, I think the number's still 27, 27 unranked teams have knocked off AP top 5 teams. I'm just telling you, you're going to get to this conference tournament week, whether it be the ACC or anywhere else, and you're bound to have some teams win their conference tournament and get the automatic bid and grab a spot.
Right.
And all this stuff we're talking about, first four in, they got to buy, all that. Man, it goes to the wayside in a millisecond. You just don't know. And to me, that's the beauty of March Madness.
Yeah.
That's when it really gets cranked up.
We have a 5-way tie for 6th right now in the ACC.
Glob, 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 glob. That's what it is.
Right there, over my shoulder. Right there it is.
If you have an 8 or a 9 or a 7 and a win-loss column, you're part of the glob.
Mm-hmm.
In whatever order it's in, you're part of it. But NC State's on top of it right now.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Mike Bray's en route, so we'll get him on here momentarily.
Thanks to Kenny Brooks of Virginia Tech's women's program. He was fantastic.
Really good. He's always been good.
Yeah. Estela Perez Somarriba.
You got it.
National champion in women's tennis joined us. It was great to talk to her. She played
awesome.
Coco Golf the other night at Delray Beach, practiced with Venus Williams. What more you need? So Estela was with us. John Newman III from Clemson. He was fantastic.
Good too.
And Joe Lunardi and Mike Bray still to come on what has turned into a very busy Thursday. If you missed any of the action last night, well, you missed a lot. NC State beat Duke by 22. Louisville beat Syracuse by 24. Georgia Tech got a road win at Wake Forest. And Virginia beat Boston College in Charlottesville. And the Hokies and Hurricanes needed 3 overtimes last night at the Castle in Blacksburg.
It was a wild night of hoops.
Yeah, it was.
By the way, you can call in, too. We'll take some calls in the meantime at 844-SAY-ACCN. That's 844-SAY-ACCN. I was laughing during the break. Jordan Cornette, when he filled in for you the other day, we had a segment in which he wanted to bring up called Mean Tweets, where people were getting on his case one way or the other.
Okay.
We've had some interesting tweets today. And we had some guy that's upset because – he wants to know, P. Warren Brown said, he wants to know, when are we going to see some baseball on ACC Network? And my response to him was, well, you saw some yesterday afternoon if you had it on because the Louisville game was on.
I think he was talking about this show.
Oh, this particular show.
And I told him we had Dan McDonald on last week.
Right. And we're going to have plenty of time to do baseball. I mean, baseball just
Bobby Seymour was on yesterday.
Right. Wake Forest, player of the year. Just for all the baseball nuts, because baseball season's underway, as we pointed out last Friday.
Yeah.
We will have plenty of time to have all the coaches and players and all that stuff on. So I don't think that we've given you the stiff arm because we really haven't. But baseball will be very prominently displayed when we get through March Madness and everything else, needless to say.
Along with all the other spring sports.
That's what we do.
Yeah. I mean, love all, serve all here on Packer and Durham.
That's kind of what we do.
So it was good to have Bobby Seymour on. He was really good talking about hitting, I thought, too.
The Deeks are heading out west to play Long Beach State.
That's right. We'll give you the baseball schedule tomorrow on the show like we did last week.
And there have been, by the way, Miami, North Carolina, Boston College, Clemson, NC State are still undefeated.
Yeah.
And Florida State, Wake, Duke, Georgia Tech, Pitt have gotten off to good starts at 3-1. Ironically, the team that's kind of sputtered a little bit out of the gate, and it's beyond early, there's no need to panic under any circumstance, is Louisville.
Yeah.
Who was a preseason number one team by many publications and the team to beat in the ACC. And again, we mentioned their game was on yesterday here on ACC Network against Wright State. But they're off to a 1-3 start. And again, no reason to hit the panic button. That team is loaded and they will be rocking and rolling before you know it. But of all the teams in the league, ironically, they're the ones that have gotten off to a slow start.
Yeah, and tough for Louisville, and just that you just, they got some injuries, by the way, too.
In the opening series with Ole Miss, I mean, Ole Miss is a really good team, especially at their joint, and they won the first game, lost the next two, but they got smacked around a little bit yesterday.
Something else here from the Twitter, Michael Hickman, who's a Metro Atlanta guy, and he has awarded some KenPom lucky host ratings this morning. Way to play to the game, Michael.
That's smart. I like it. It's clever.
Packer, by the way, Drew and Josh, you guys will be amazed at this. +7 at 0.672 on the lucky host rating.
What can I tell you?
Durham, however, +9. That's right. 0.404. 0.404 for a reason. The culture, 404. There you go.
Well, I mean, the good news was you're on time today, so that should have helped you.
Ish. Yeah, this show every morning starts at 7-ish for me. So, but most times, 125, I've been here.
I was impressed that you made it on time today, given the blizzard that we've got going on outside here in Charlotte.
Yeah, it's really starting to come down now, isn't it?
What, we got 3-4 inches already?
Snowmageddon here in Charlotte. Yeah. You can't find bread in this town. It's all been bought.
It's all upstairs.
Packers said we're going to have French toast for 2 months.
French toast for 2 months. That's how we roll when there's a chance of snow in Charlotte.
How are we ever going to get out of here to get on the road to do some road shows?
Those are coming, though.
I think so. Louisville, all ACC yesterday at Louisville. They had an afternoon show and a night show, primetime, last night after the ball game. College baseball got in the way of that 6 o'clock show.
Did it?
Yes.
And a little late?
Yes.
You're a big proponent of 3-hour baseball games that go to 4.
The impossibility of a 3-hour college baseball game is real.
College baseball will get lengthy on you if you're not paying attention. It can get away from you a little bit.
Can?
Does.
Can get away.
Does.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Tonight, women's basketball, front and center.
Yep, we got two ball games for you here on ACC Network, by the way. Coverage starts at 6 o'clock. Pam Ward and Debbie Antonelli will be at Syracuse for Clemson and the Orange. Coach Hilsman trying to keep that ball rolling for Syracuse here. And then 8 o'clock tonight, NC State in Miami from Coral Gables. Jen Hildreth, LaChina Robinson get the good straw draw on that one. Because you see Pam and Debbie are at Syracuse, Jen and LaChina in South Florida.
Well, NC State needs to get back in their winning ways now.
Yep.
I mean, that thing got away from Wes when Louisville rolled in there a week ago in the big showdown game, and all of a sudden, old Nell Fortner.
Yep.
Guess what? Nell rolled into Raleigh and said, hey, we're just going to give you the double dip. So the Wolfpack, the men took care of business last night. We'll see what the ladies do tonight, though, on the road at Miami. But right now, everybody's still chasing Louisville. And as you mentioned, they're on the road to Georgia Tech. And Jackets are coming off a really impressive W.
Sunday night here on ACC Network, Notre Dame welcomes Miami to Purcell Pavilion. And Mike Bray's the head coach of the Irish, who probably was up late last night because it went to triple overtime in Blacksburg. So Larinaga got his money's worth coming to South Bend. Good morning, Coach Bray.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I had my Maui Mike look, and you ditched my airtime. Like, what's up? I'm sitting here in shorts. I got a leg on. I got my Hawaiian shirt, and I got to call in. But I'm sure we can reschedule. We'll just reschedule, and I'll get some airtime, some FaceTime, some more FaceTime. How you doing, fellas?
I tell you what, your coaching down the stretch against North Carolina was nothing short of sensational.
Got them right where we wanted them, down 16, right? Got them right where we want them, fellas. Morgan Woot used to say that. We got them right where we want them. Look back at the score like, shit, we're down 20. How are we getting out of this one?
So how did you get through that one? I saw the post-game interview where you said, listen, keep firing. Eventually we're going to start making some of these. But, I mean, it really didn't look too good with about 8.5 to go.
No, it didn't. And you know, our seniors, I think our seniors have done a really good job of kind of taking ownership of this group and trying to chase the postseason. They've been really good. That, you know, it's a group that kind of has ownership of itself. And I thought we looked a little exhausted midway through the second half, and we had been on a pretty long stretch. West saw the start of that stretch down at Clemson on Sunday.
Yeah.
But we found a way to get out of there. And Carolina got into a nice rhythm offensively. We had a hard time guarding them there for a while in the second half. But to escape and be 7-8 after and 2-2 in that stretch that started at Clemson, you had to get out of it 2-2 to keep hope alive. We're keeping hope alive.
All right, but you and I were talking at Clemson. This thing could have gone really bad at 1-4, right? And then you go to win at Georgia Tech, and all of a sudden since then, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, paint the rosy picture here, you've put yourself in a position, and we just had Joe Lunardi on, Coach, and he says, look, you've got some consideration here, but you've got to be the one to do the work, and here comes Miami on Sunday, and you know how the rest of this plays out with road games at BC and Wake Forest. So, I mean, it's in front of you, and it's manageable, correct?
It is within striking distance. And, you know, I told our group the other day, I really respected their toughness. We were 0-2 at Christmas. You know, we lost in Chapel Hill. BC came in here and beat us. And we have found out that BC is a heck of a basketball team in this league this year. So we were 0-2. We were 1-4 going to Atlanta. We steal that one. We were 2-6 off of my $20,000 fine to the league coming home. and you know, since then we're 5-2, and we're 7-8, and we, you know, you're within striking distance of this thing. Certainly, you got Miami, who's healthy again and playing well because they've got their guards back. And you got a Florida State team that rolls in here. That's a quad one opportunity. No question we have to go to Greensboro and do something in Greensboro. But, you know, here it is, you know, mid-February, and you can say you're within striking distance. Right now, we'll take that.
By the way, we mentioned how crazy ACC Hoops was last night, and that includes the game in Blacksburg. And you mentioned you get Miami coming into town. Now that they've gotten healthy, especially that backcourt, we had Chris Likes on the show this week, they're really starting to feel it. This game's got the potential, with all the shooters on the floor and scores, to be a wide-open first to 85 kind of game.
I think it could be one of those. And, you know, I just think they are the Miami team that went to Illinois and won. Mm. A very good Illinois team, as we have found out, and how they have developed. That team is back. And so we have to be really ready. First thing we've tried to do here since Monday is get a little rest, because the stretch we were on was grueling. And we've kind of, you know, fake practiced a little bit the last couple of days. We'll kick it back into gear tomorrow. But, you know, an opportunity to get to 8-8 in the league and get your 17th win, and a Miami team that I think is going to, you know, be on a run, it's huge. Huge for both of us.
All right, I want to talk to you about Mooney from this perspective. John Mooney, I think, is first team all ACC, and that's a lock. But in Mike Bray's pantheon of bigs at Notre Dame, I mean, he's got to be up there now. And I mean, self-made and busted every time he hits the floor, Coach.
I really think he has, Wes. I mean, you know, the Troy Murphy, and Troy Murphy was a lottery pick, and that's probably not Johnny's projection, but Troy Murphy and Luke Herangode, and you know, there's been many of them that have come. Ryan Humphrey, my current assistant, but many of them come through. He has been as effective as any of them in college. And what I'm really happy about is, you know, it's the second year in a row he's doing it, but we weren't winning enough last year for him to really get a full nod. And I get that, and I understand that. And I feel that, you know, because we're winning more and he's on a better team this year, more people have really appreciated it. But then when you look at the double-double consistency, and then he's mentioned with Tim Duncan and Sheldon Williams the last 25 years. It's a machine-like consistency that has been really fun to watch, and he has set the tone for us. It's really a great story.
Coach, you know, you're going to get at least some rest this week, and you mentioned that a little bit after playing basically four games in 8 or 9 days. Would you rather have the break early or late into this season now that you've kind of gone somewhat through the 20-game ACC conference schedule? In the perfect world, if John Swofford came to you and said, Mike, you get your first pick, would you rather have early break or late break?
You know, he's going to give you your pick after he asks Kay and Roy and Boeheim what they want, though,
right.
Just so you know.
No, well, wait a minute. You know, wait. The fact that you already wrote a $20,000 check, you may go to the top of the line.
You know what? I'm just trying to get to, like, 10th on the consideration of that check, you know? That's a great, you know, the one thing Roy and I talked about a little bit, and you know, certainly they've been disjointed with bodies not available. Really, they were us last year. That was us. Can certainly relate. To ratchet it up to 20 and two before Christmas, and we do play big games, I get a little more concerned about fatigue and wear and tear this time of year. So getting a break now is, you know, I think important if you can steal some time in February, because it really has been very intense for us. You know, we go right at it again in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, it is mentally and physically, you know, draining and a little, I think, more intense because we've got 20 league games on the board. Obviously, that is not going to change. That is part of our package with our network, and great, and we all support that. But rest and recovery for these guys, these kids, are just so, so important, especially now, you know, the last 6 weeks.
So what do you like most about your team going into this last stretch here? Because, I mean, you shoot it well. Leshefsky obviously hits a big one for you the other night. That'll certainly buoy his confidence. But if you had to pick the one characteristic about your team you think that can carry you, what is it?
Well, I think I mentioned it earlier. I think that they have complete ownership of themselves, and they understand what we have to do to get in this thing. And when you have a Pfluger, a Gibbs, a Mooney, even a Hulk now as a sophomore, but our point guard and our quarterback, they are talking the talk every day. And when you have a team that really has complete ownership of itself, many times, like my 2015 team, my 2011 team, it was a two seed, the coaches along for the ride. You know, you just don't want to screw them up. You want to keep them fresh. You want to get them to the gym on time. You want to make sure you have the right guys on the floor. You want to keep them rested during the game. And I really feel we've kind of found that niche a little bit, and I'm just trying to guide it. We do know how we play. We don't turn it over. We're good with it. But as you mentioned early about the possibility of the kind of game Sunday night, when it gets into the hot 70s and 80s, that's better for us, where we're flowing a little bit, because that's been conducive for how we played lately.
All right, real quick, just for clarity purposes, when I see you on Sunday, when you say we got about a minute left here, when you say talk the talk with Pfluger, you don't really mean talk all the talk, because he's talking all the talk during the game, right?
He talks. He just talks. I mean, I'm going to put a video together, Wes, of him. I told him yesterday. Of all the little winning, I want to say little, all the winning plays he's made throughout his career. The tip-ins. How about the rebound the other night? And then the poise to pivot and find Leshefsky. The steals down the stretch. The out-of-bounds unders, you know, he runs an out-of-bounds under in Maui to win a championship. He gets it to Gavin. He got it to Leshefsky against Toledo when we were dead. There are so many winning plays that this guy has made. It's just amazing, and he is really kind of setting the tone for us now.
All right. Thanks, as always, for the time. We'll see you Sunday, and great to have you back with us. Next time, we look forward to the visual effect, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'll break out the Maui look, and always great to talk to you guys. See you Sunday.
All right. Mike Bray of Notre Dame with us. There's the dial tone to prove it.
That would be true.
Yeah.
you know, after listening to Joe Lenardi break down the potential for Notre Dame, then you hear the coach.
Yeah.
I think they have a pretty good handle on where they stand and what they've got to do. It's right there in front of them. And, you know, getting some rest this week after that crazy schedule last week, critical for them.
Three of the last five are at home. Miami on Sunday, at BC, at Wake, followed by Florida State and Virginia Tech visiting before the close of the regular season.
Very quickly, a shout out to the Women's Swimming and Diving Championships, which are underway in Greensboro. That goes on through the weekend. Check that out. Men's and women's tennis. Again, great teams all over the place. We'll get into rankings and all that stuff. Ones that actually matter, unlike the luck and unluck nonsense.
We'll preview Friday night duels and much more on tomorrow's show as we close another busy week of Packer and Durham. Enjoy women's basketball. Doubleheader tonight starts at 6, Clemson and Syracuse, followed by NC State at Miami. Thanks to everybody for helping us put this together. Great show today.
And be very careful in the ACC footprint of this incredibly difficult storm that's about to hit us. Be careful out there. Just saying.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.